So we are, can we, we'll say where we're recording.
Yeah.
The reason I want to say where we're recording is because we're recording in my shed. And someone came to the house the other day and we showed them around, like I've just shown you around.
Yeah.
And then we met out the front and she goes, oh, your shed, oh, it's a bit neat freak.
A bit neat freak.
And I thought.
Yeah, it is very, looking at your shed, it's different from my shed. It's very, you haven't got a shadow board, but you're one step away from having a shadow board.
What's a shadow board?
You know, where the old guys used to have like the screwdriver, the.
Oh, but that's that thing. That.
And you hang the screwdriver and there's
and you draw a thing around it.
A shadow of it.
But isn't that what, with all the holes in it, isn't that what that is there?
Yeah, but you don't actually have the spanner drawn on there or a screwdriver.
But I'll make this a bit of a Where's Wally because I did analyse what is in here and it's not very shed-like. For example, behind you, I have a bamboo curtain.
Yeah, that's a bit weird. Is there something behind that curtain or?
No, I just thought it could, because it looked nice. Right?
Oh, wow.
There's a clothesline. Okay, there is some surfboards, which are...
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty... That's, you know, there's a tennis racket.
Yeah, let's count your surfboards. One, two, three. And then about five boogie boards.
Yeah.
Three, four.
And there's a cool cabana.
One on the bottom.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is the one you always use?
Well, it depends which surf conditions are happening.
Right.
This is the hybrid, the yellow one. Then the blue one's the high-performance longboard. Then I got the long board for
they're
the
big,
the
aren't they?
Yeah, about 9'2". Yeah, they're coming in at. Yeah,
you got some. Was that a badminton set up there?
Badminton, tennis, you know, all the toys. But unfortunately,
wetsuits.
Oh yeah, there's two tubs of wetsuits.
Wetsuits.
But then you come around, and I'll point them out to you, which aren't very masculine. You've got
a lot of cream.
You got moisturizer,
sunscreen,
hand sanitizer.
Yeah,
deodorant. We got up here shampoo.
Pink bottles.
A lovely box of tissues.
But look, that's all. You got and a mirror.
Yeah, now the mirror is the big one, isn't it? Why do you need a mirror
in the shed?
Because I also have.
Oh, you got a shaver. That's a shaver, ladies and gentlemen.
I never thought of that.
But I tell you, at least that's quite masculine. Is that WD-40 up there?
That's WD-40, but yeah. I get points for that. Now, I reckon I'd drop down again with Ryobi. Not your man's tools. They're more your city bloke tool, aren't they?
Yeah, they're battery power too.
Yeah, battery. And combustion is your real man.
Yeah. They've got like a cabinet.
Got a radio, which is switched to.
That's all right. A radio is cool.
Yeah. Doesn't
sound great, does it? Listen to that.
And then clock radio. Just a normal clock. What else?
You could live in here.
Well,
get a bit hot though.
I do. I've got my.
Oh, there's an esky. That's very masculine.
What, you know what this is?
Yeah, that's a ball for Pilates or physio. What is that? It's a roll.
It's a roll that I stretch my back on. So I reckon I'm 50-50 masculine, 50-50 metro guy.
Yeah, you got your seesaw, which is a bit of gardening stuff.
Gardening stuff. So. We'll put up a photograph, and you can make up your own mind. But so my ratings as a shed man aren't that good. Anyway, it's exciting to be doing it here.
If I walked into here, I'd say it's a man, but metrosexual, even possibly, you know.
What? Is there nothing wrong with that?
No, nothing wrong with that.
Just
nothing wrong with that. Oh, you've got a little. Oh, this is.
Oh, there's
good.
A drawer there.
There's a drawer with tape.
Yeah.
Gaffer tape.
Again, things that I never use.
You got a Stanley knife.
Yeah, and some inflatables over here. But let's not.
Geelong. Is it like a Geelong sticker or isn't that?
That's
like
a Geelong football club. That's
there you go.
The people who owned this place before us, they were in their 80s. I think he was a bit of a handyman. And there's a nice little crop of marijuana down the back of the house, which we're cultivating.
What's that checklist on the back of the
door? This is really good. This is everyone in the street knows each other. So the lady up the road gave me the names of everyone, the house numbers and their names.
Oh, my God.
Are you going to read them?
Ross has three Jags, including a Jag Ute.
He does.
Ross adds a certain classiness to the street. Okay, I won't read the last bit. But about his poor wife. Charlotte, Steve, Oliver, Ruby, and Abby and Molly, the dogs.
Yep. So there's
you know them.
So I meet someone out in the street.
Where are you?
We're not on.
You don't know. You're not on there.
Number two.
The founders are no longer lingering or something. They're no longer
because
here.
Because this place was called Lingalonga.
Oh, okay.
So the founders of this property, who were the Lingalongerers, we took their sign down because it looked a bit weird.
What are these couple? They're rarely here, but he keeps his lawns and roses immaculate. And what about Barry? He's politically very active.
He is. Yeah. And apparently I gave Barry a nickname that I don't remember giving to him. Apparently I call him... I forget what it is.
He's a former age writer.
He is, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so we've got some pretty important people, a lot of power in the street. And of course, they're all members of the...
Dave and Teresa. Dave's the mover and shaker and bollard provider for the walkway project.
And look at now, number 37. That's the house, the wife swapping.
Oh, yeah, 37. Tina and Roy enjoy a bit of wife swapping.
Bring your car keys, throw them in a bowl, and have a fun night.
Oh, well, it's great to be here in the shed, and bring on the music.
Welcome to Somehow Related. Now, please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Here we are in Glenn's shed.
These are going to be the Shed Tapes.
The Shed Tapes.
Aren't there famous bands that they had?
They record in sheds or whatever.
No, meaning that they have a name called the something tapes.
Yeah, you're right. I can't think of any, but I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah.
The garage tapes and stuff like that.
So these are in my shed and it's going to... I think it sounds all right.
Sounds good, actually. I think it sounds pretty good. We're using the same setup, same desk, so
same desk
should be fine.
We're both in shorts.
It's summer. It's January in Melbourne. It's hot.
You've
been down the beach.
Are we allowed to say what your kids? You brought your kids around,
yeah,
and you just sent them off. You just went. The lighthouse is that way. The beach is that way.
Lighthouse.
There's some shops over there.
Mini golf.
Mini golf. We just said go for a walk. We'll do the podcast. Come back.
Yeah.
Are we going out for lunch?
Yeah, hopefully. Taking some.
I'm worried because
local cuisine.
See, I know you. You don't really like
anything.
No, you don't. You're not a smashed avo guy.
No.
So I think some of the places around here are a bit smashed avo.
That's all right. We'll find something.
And Selena said there's a place down there which she said is classic Dave. It's got like your suburban.
Oh, is it?
It's toasted sandwiches.
A bit bogan.
A little bit. They're trying to sell it, so that's giving you. But they're all. I just walked past it then. A lot of people.
All right, we'll suss it out.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's exciting to be here. Oh, should we get our topics?
Yep.
Let's stay on. What are they, Sam? Maybe they're summer topics. Maybe something summery and fun.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
Okay, what are they?
Italy in red underpants.
Wow. Two of my favourite things. Do you want to do underpants first? Or
sorry, don't say that. Someone might be walking past the shed. What do we do with the underpants? We'll do the
underpants
first.
Up on the list, on the neighbour's list.
Glenn I don't
talks about underpants.
I don't have. By the way, Selena, my partner, is outside doing some gardening.
Sure.
So you'll probably hear her going past.
Laughing or going, oh, God.
Another old man story. I've heard that story before. I don't have a red pair of underpants.
No, nor do I.
And I never will.
Well, I don't think in our age group there's a lot of red underpants available. And I have to say, the only red underpants I've ever seen is one of my sons, the youngest one, who's like 14, might have some red underpants, but I've never seen...
They're a bit racy.
Well, in girls, they are a bit racy, definitely.
Oh, right.
Women, I think. Have you ever been out with a woman with red underpants?
No. I guess that's why it makes it interesting.
I think it's associated with some kind of, X-rated thing, isn't it? Red underpants.
Well, I'd say red G-string, but not red underpants, really.
Red underpants.
I mean, okay, let's start from, old men talking
about... What color are your underpants? Hang on, where am I?
Old men talking about their underpants is not... If you want to fast forward through this section, by all means, but we're going to talk about our underpants for a minute.
Mine are black.
Back in the day, my father used to wear the big whiteies.
Yeah, so did my dad.
With the
Y fronts.
The Y front. Mm. And I don't know about you, but you would never use that part, would you? Because that was where the Peters came out, wasn't it?
Yes. Well,
But so you went in from the front.
Yeah, and you pulled it out through the little flap kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like a puppet show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of my underpants have a flap and I use it.
I use the flap.
I don't just pull my pants down like I'm five.
No, but you lift. Again,
you can lift this.
I go from the top down.
Oh, okay.
What was the other way?
No, you can just go into the flap, grab, and then put it through the flap and urinate.
I think it's far too complicated.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's like a magic trick.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of folds in there.
And especially if you really want to go, then you go, come on. When you go from the top, the only problem if you go from the top and you pull down, sometimes it flicks and they go back up into position and they cut you off midstream.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. We were the generation. I remember maybe as a kid wearing wide fronts, but then we got jocks, didn't we?
Oh, that was very cool.
In the 70s,
well,
jocks.
Well, it went from a wide side.
Yeah.
To a narrow side. And I remember the first jocks, almost, not a knot, but there was like a thick bit on the side.
Yes.
Which wasn't, but they came, they weren't, a, but they were quite thin on the side. And the thinner you were, the cooler it was.
Yeah. They're kind of like bikini briefs almost, really,
yeah.
Jocks.
Yeah.
And then maybe, when the boxer shorts come in, the 80s maybe, late 80s?
They were very cool.
They were cool in the late, but I found them too,
scrunched up.
Yeah, and too free ranging.
Yeah, well, that's the
there's no support there.
Yeah, well, on Seinfeld,
it's just like wearing shorts with no undies.
It's like living in pajamas on.
Yeah,
yeah. So I've never worn a pair of boxers under my pants.
I used to own them because they became trendy and stuff. But then I like the ones now that are boxer briefs, which are like more like a traditional undie with a bit of like what you've probably got on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what I've got on.
I mean, I'm happy to pull my pants down. Oh, but God, these are.
This will appear on the neighbour's sheet. Yeah, very similar to what I. Yeah, they're good.
They're very long, wide legs.
Hello, Mrs. Thompson.
Is she on the list? She's number four. Yes, but nothing happening here. I just pulled my pants
Sydney
down. Shed
and pull his pants down with strange men.
But these are excessively wide.
Because yeah, no, I
don't
them.
Mind a little bit of leg action in the winter.
Yeah, same here.
In the summer, I just happen to pull these out of the thing.
Yeah.
These are, but very comfortable. And okay, what's the number one thing that's bad about underpants?
Well, the marks you get on the back? Or?
Oh, I didn't think.
Because, you know, I mean, you wonder about Dad wearing white ones. Poor Mum having to, you know. Yeah.
Skid marks.
Skid marks, like, oh.
Yeah, no, I didn't even think of that.
Having to do the washing. Yeah, I remember one of my friend's mum's husband passed away in the 60s. Oh, they were in their 60s maybe, and he said to her, like she was like a great aunt or something, are you going to meet another man? And he said, honestly, I can't be bothered washing the stains out of another man's underwear. There was a reason for
But what were they eating to get so many? Again, well, I apologise, but it seemed like there were a lot of stains. Oh, I don't get that. Many, and I say that with some hesitation because you might get quite. I don't get that many. Not that I check.
Well, you've got to wipe your bottom properly, maybe. I don't know.
Are you taking notes?
Well, I just know with kids, little kids don't, and that's when you get them.
Oh, right.
So they don't wipe their bottoms properly.
You know what
anyway,
that's
enjoy your breakfast.
It's called gruff nuts.
Oh, is it called? What's it called?
A gruff nut.
Oh.
Which is, again, please. 30s.
Enjoy your breakfast.
Forward, jump forward 30 seconds. A gruff nut is when a little bit of feces gets stuck on the
underwear.
No, on the hair.
Oh, on the hair.
Yeah, gruff nut.
Okay, I've never heard of that.
Okay, yeah. We will now stop.
Okay, enough of the poo talk.
No, I was going to say the worst thing that happened with underpants is they ride up.
They ride up.
Do you have a trick to get your underpants out of your crack?
Crack. Without looking at it.
Without looking like you're getting your underpants.
Well, you kind of can stretch a bit. You can do a bit of a stretch with your, you know, like pretend you're stretching.
But what, does your hand go around?
No, you kind of, what about putting your hands on the side of your hips?
What does that do?
Well, if you put your hand on both hips and then sort of pull outwardly, maybe it'll pull the fabric with you, you know, like.
I haven't, but that's a good idea.
Put your hand in your pocket and pull the cloth. Like,
this is a somehow related product.
What?
Which would be. A pair of underpants with some sort of connection between the crotch and the hip, and you pull a little thread, and it automatically comes out of your ass.
Great idea, like a parachute.
It comes out, yeah. It just pulls into position. That's a brilliant idea. Hole proof, if you're listening. Get on board. We just copyrighted that.
But see, we're all talking from a male perspective. We have no idea what it's like for a female to wear underpants. They get caught in their bum, whatever, you know.
I remember, this is terrible, when you were at school, but when the wind blew and the girls'
dresses went up.
It was very, very exciting to see their underpants.
Yeah.
You set off on your day, right?
Mm.
And then you put on the pair that you forgot were the ones that ride up all the time.
Oh, so yeah.
And you're picking, okay, we'll say you're picking your ring all day.
Oh, terrible.
It's terrible. All day.
It's terrible.
And you're going, oh, and then, so.
You must have favourite pairs of undies, do you? Where you look in the cupboard and you go, oh, it's going to be a good day. I've got those ones.
It's like, you know, the top 40. I got my top six.
Yeah.
And they're Bonds. They're not too wide, not too skinny, not too wide on the side. I must have got them 10 years ago, and they're just hanging in there.
Yeah, mine are Country Road.
Do you have a throwout? What's your throwout point?
You know, my throwout point is when they get holes in them. You know what's terrible?
I'm not gonna ask.
You get holes in the crotch and then something starts to go through that hole? That's a bad look when you go. But now the holes often appear in my underpants in the back where I've been pulling them up.
Yeah, along the...
On the waist.
Just below the
On the
strap,
waistband. Yes.
And do you go out? No, done. Or yeah, I'll get a couple more.
I'll get a couple more. Don't worry about that.
And then what do you do with them?
Well, I've got to throw them in the bin because...
You can't send them to the Brotherhood.
No, that's the thing. Or Rob, the mechanic, he wants clean rags, and so
you give him your old underpants.
Yeah, but he kept saying, "I've been telling the boys these are Dave O'Neill's undies." So Karen's like, "I don't think we should give him your undies anymore."
No, but you must admit, my old man, he used to put the cloth drawer, not the cloth drawer, the you know, like you say, rag bag. And you get a funny feeling when you know.
We play your mum's undies.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad was way into recycling too. And so you go around and, like, the gate would be kept closed by mum's undies. It's it's a bit weird.
I remember when mum was in the nursing home, I said, "Mum, is there anything I can get you? Like a woman's weekly, or could you, perhaps I could get you some flowers?" She goes, "Oh, could you give me some underpants?" And that's
traumatic.
That is above and beyond the call of duty. To go into the female section of Myers and stand there. Looking lost. If you look lost in the middle of the underpants department, people go, "You're a weirdo."
Yeah.
And then for some reason, I always say, "I'm looking for this size." I go in ladies' underpants, but not for me. Now, do I need to put on the end, but not for me?
Yeah, but not for you.
Because I'm sure there are some men who, because you can, again, you can buy underpants in the mail.
Yeah.
Can we say why? Yeah.
Because to wear them.
No, that had been worn.
Oh, yeah, okay, that had been worn. Yeah,
very
worn
popular
underpants.
In Japan, apparently.
Yeah, and that was a storyline in Orange is the New Black, in that prison show. They were selling used underpants. Yeah, they had a whole industry inside the prison. Have you ever been to Bra and Things? What's that joke? I'm just here for the things. I remember going to Bra and Things. Oh, God, that's confronting.
Anyway. What were you there for?
I had to buy some lingerie for a girlfriend, and I didn't know a size or anything.
And the ladies,
they're helpful.
They're very, very helpful.
Mm.
Okay. Did you ever have anything on your underpants like a racing car or an aeroplane?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I had Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck. I had Donald Duck undies.
And where was Donald? Right on the penis
right
section.
On the front.
Where was his bill? Right. No wonder he talks like that.
Favorite ones.
Have you ever worn?
I had 007 undies. It said 007, like Bond on them. Yeah.
Oh, James Bond.
Yeah, James Bond undies.
Going away. Oh, this is a bit personal. Going away on holiday.
Yeah. How many did you take?
How do you work it out?
Oh, no, just how many nights I'm going to be away.
But the
beach house where we go has got a washing machine now, so I just did some washing just before, actually. Wash my undies.
But if you were to go, say, up to, Northern Australia for 10 days, you'd take 10 pair of underpants.
Yeah, and here's a scout's tip. When you use a pair of undies, tie them in a knot and put them in your bag, so then you know it's been used.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Scout tip. Yeah.
You tie them in a knot.
Baden Powell probably came with that one himself.
Kid pulls his pants down. Now, you tie them in a knot after you've used them, son.
You tie the undies in the knot, mate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever felt like you, in summer, do you go commando?
No, never.
Why is that?
I don't like the lack of support. Do you? Or?
Yeah, I like it.
Oh, you like it?
Except I'm when I'm going somewhere where there are... If you're at the beach, fine. My meaning... but if you go somewhere like for lunch or something and then you suddenly realise you haven't got any underpants on, you feel a bit weird.
Yeah, it's a bit unusual. At a restaurant.
Superman?
Oh, yeah. He's... Yeah.
What?
Everyone said he has his undies on the outside, didn't he? Yeah.
He kind of did.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they designed it and they took it to the, you know, I've designed a new cartoon character.
Yeah.
Surely they would have gone, can we talk about the underpants? And on the outside. And he goes, I'll put a belt on top to make it look a bit more.
Like a suit or. Yeah.
A bit more Superman-y.
Cool.
I can't think of anything else.
Well, let's do Italy. Italy. You've been to Italy, haven't you?
Yeah, I've only been there once.
How many times do you reckon I've been there? Have a guess.
I'm going to say 3.
6.
You are so cultured. Can you speak any Italian?
Ciao. No, not really. Only because my brother lives in Switzerland. So I went there once in the 80s.
Yeah.
I went there once in the 90s. Then I went there for my brother's wedding. Then I reckon I've been there with the kids twice. So that's 5. Yeah, I've been there a few times.
You've been all over it?
Not really. A little bit. I've been to the big ones.
So what are the big ones?
Venice. Venice is great. Yeah. Rome.
Selena said Venice is fantastic.
Oh, Venice is great. Florence.
But why is it great?
Well, it's just an unusual place to go because you're in a city that's set in the water. So there's no roads. There's just canals.
But how did they build it then?
It was sort of built and it sort of flooded, I think, is what happened.
Oh, so they just fell on their feet, really.
I mean, I read about it. They sort of lived in the... They went there to... It's off the coast, right, of Italy.
Yeah, yeah.
They went there to escape whoever it was they were fighting with or whatever. The Venetians were fighting with someone. And they just sort of built a city on the water, I think is how it worked, in the marshes. And then it sort of, you know, flooded.
Because it comes straight up out of the water. It's not like there's a little beach outside you.
Oh, yeah. It's just canals. There's no beach.
Yeah. Did you get around on a bit of a gondola?
I didn't go on a gondola, but you can get like the boat. It's just like getting a bus kind of thing. But it's very touristy, but it's still amazing, you know, to go and have a look at. So there's Rome.
Yeah. What are the big spots in Rome that you got to see?
The Colosseum,
Vatican. You've been to all those.
Oh, Vatican.
You've been, Vatican. You had trouble there, didn't you?
Yeah, I've been there 3 times. I said
you had to take the kids there.
Oh, on the tour, we had the crazy tour guide who kept saying stuff like crucifixion. It was a daily thing. I said, like getting a parking fine. Exactly. So apparently people were crucified all the time.
So if you had nothing to do, like your kids today, they could wander up. Hey, where are you going?
Go to the Vatican.
Go to the Vatican. And where were the crucifixions done?
They were on a hill somewhere.
Not far away.
I don't think that was in Rome. That was in the Middle East, wasn't it? Oh, no, the Romans. Oh, I don't know. The Romans were involved.
The catacombs?
Yes, I haven't been to them. That's pretty full.
St. Peter's?
Yeah. The best thing in Rome is the Colosseum. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Because you look at it and go, that hasn't changed that much since Roman days. It's unbelievable. You know, it's like
did you go inside?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really good to do. Did you nearly fall down a hole or anything?
No. It's all... When I went in the 80s, you could just wander around by yourself. And now it's all sort of controlled.
I wish we were dead there in Rome for a day and I didn't have much of
that's days. The best.
We looked from the outside. It's like going to the MCG and just looking from the outside. You need to go into the MCG.
You've got to go. And Fountain of Trevi, you know, and Chucky. Good ice cream shop near there. I remember that much. Very good ice cream
and
shop.
And the cake house. The cake,
yeah,
cake know, building, yeah. Whatever that is.
I wouldn't go back to Rome. I've been there quite a few times now.
The mistake I made is I didn't go down the laneways.
Yeah.
I went down a couple of laneways and went, oh, this is where it's all at. This is when you get your little boutiques and your little coffee shops and your little bits and pieces. But you stay on the thoroughfare. It's just like worrying about getting your pockets picked and, you know.
Florence?
Florence,
you been there?
No.
Nah, it's a bit like Ballarat. I wouldn't bother. I found it very underwhelming, to be honest.
Did you walk everywhere?
Yeah, in Florence. But they got all those little scooters. So you'd be lying in bed and just hear...
You know what you can do now? You can do walking tours on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
So it's a camera that someone's walked around. So you can walk all the famous walks and go to all the famous places. Just sit really close to your TV. And
the best place I went in Italy was Naples. That was awesome.
Now,
Naples is like the second biggest...
A lot of crime there.
Yeah, but they don't bother you. There was no crime when I was there. I didn't see any crime.
Really?
I saw crime in other places, but not in Naples. Yeah, people go, well, I know what you mean. The first time I went to Italy, I was too scared to go to Naples because you read in the guidebooks, oh, avoid Naples. But you know what? And I was telling my twin brother, who, of course, lives in Switzerland, and he'd never been to Naples because his wife said, oh, it's full of crime and all that. And I said, you should go. And they had a holiday there, and they loved it because I think it's changed a little bit. But as my brother said, it's one of those big towns in Europe where people still actually live and work in the city.
Right.
Whereas you go to Venice and Rome, a lot of people are just...
Pushed out.
Yeah. Whereas in Naples, you walk down the alley, there'd be a big fat bloke putting his washing on the line.
Oh, so you get a real sense of...
Yeah. And the food's unbelievable. And it's near Pompeii, where you go on it to, which, of course, is the old city that was covered in ash by the volcano.
Yes.
So it's all in fantastic condition. But yeah, I would recommend Naples. Naples was awesome.
Have you been to Lake Como?
Lake Comover?
Like... have a convention every year.
No, which George Clooney hangs out.
Today's left to right comers. Tomorrow, Thursday, is right to left comers.
I'd love to go to Lake Como. Oh, because Glenn, my Swiss brother, wife is from, where's she from? Lugano, which is near, like, it's the Swiss lakes near that bit of Italy.
Yeah.
But I've been to those lakes, but no. Have you been to Lake Como or?
Oh, bloody George.
George Clooney.
He keeps inviting me. Okay, George, I'm too busy. I'm doing my podcast. I'm doing...
Singing in a shed.
Yeah, sitting in a shed with Dave. I can't get over there.
You know where I'd love to go? Sicily. That's the island on the bottom of the boat.
I've heard that it's magnificent.
Really want to go there. And also the other islands off it and stuff. I'd love
to go there. I've heard that doing a yacht round there is very special. I mean, it's a very expensive part of the world.
Yeah, but no, Italy's not that expensive. No. Isn't it? Well, if you stay in Rome and stuff, you know what's the killer? The accommodation's the killer.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, the trains were good. The food's incredible. So people are friendly.
Mm.
Yeah. But there is a bit of crime, but there's crime everywhere.
Hey, you know who knows a lot about? Who do we know that knows a lot about? You must get this. You got to get this in one. Get it in one. Who knows about Rome? Who knows about Italy?
Who knows about Italy? Nick Giannopoulos? I know he's Greek. Okay.
Same. Conor Frutra. No.
He's faux Greek. Italian. Italiano. Well,
Santo Cielo.
Oh, Santo is Italian.
He is Italian, even when
through and through.
When he talks about Italian things, he actually puts the accent on.
I think he's slightly posh Italian too.
I think he is too.
Is he from the north? Because in Melbourne, we got a lot of people from the south. Like all the guys you went to school with were Italian. A lot of guys I went to school with were Italian.
South Melbourne, so.
But a lot of the guys in my high school were from Italy, and they were from the south, though. They weren't northern Italians.
So northern is cool.
No, northerners. They're taller. They got blonde sort of hair, some of them. Whereas the Italians in the further south you go, the darker they get, they're short. You know, like all the guys, like, you know, who I went to school with. Well, you don't know them. But
yeah, I know.
Joe,
I mean, but you know, there were some derogatory terms thrown around.
Yes.
In terms of the
yes.
But I don't think if I was to move into a street and live next door to an Italian, that would be so good.
Yeah, we had Italians across the road when we grew up.
They're always such lovely people, and they've always got bolognese, but not bolognese permanently on the
tomatoes
start.
Tomatoes growing.
You know,
the Italians across the road from us were the classic immigrants, and they had the one daughter Teresa, who was a bit younger than us. Used to hang out with us a bit. And Luigi was the dad, Maria was the mum. I know it's like, but they went back to Italy. They went back to their village,
As in permanently.
Well, for a little bit, and Teresa was like in her 20s and said, "Oh, it was terrible because." It was so conservative compared to Melbourne. Like,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Some of the villages would be.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Kate Lambrook, she wrote a book about living in Italy.
Oh, I read that book.
Yeah, she lived in Bologna, didn't she? Where I've never been.
No. But yes, I read that book.
Yeah, Bologna. It was Bologna.
No, I listened to that book, so I haven't officially read it.
Did she read the book that you listened to?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, we should call her. We both know Kate.
I mean, surely we can just ring up asking what colour underpants she wears.
She's the kind of person that would tell you. Don't worry.
We've both got her number. But mind you, I haven't spoken. It's one person who I know extremely well, and I've not seen nor spoken to her because she lived before the boat.
During the pandemic, she was there.
Yeah. So I haven't spoken to her since 2019, maybe. Was that when she went? Because I know she went and then it hit.
Yes. She went in 2019, I reckon. Or 18. No, we'll ask her.
Yeah.
The book's been a bestseller, so I'm sure people...
Oh, it's sumptuous to read.
May have read it.
And when she reads it with such love. So much... Look, I'll talk about it when we talk to her.
All right.
Hopefully we can get her.
Let's call her up.
Hey,
buongiorno.
Kate, we haven't spoken in a long time, but I just want you to know we're actually doing our podcast and we've run you. So don't say anything inappropriate because you are going out to our listeners right now.
You number one, disrespectful cunt.
nothing's changed. So we get two topics, and one of the topics is Italy, and we thought, why not talk to
someone who knows it all?
How long did you live in Italy for, Kate?
2 years.
Wow.
And you went, what was it, 2019?
Yes, 2019, which was the year we thought was difficult because that was like our establishing year. But then 2020 happened and we realised 2019 wasn't hard at all.
Compared to COVID was pretty full on in Italy, wasn't it?
Well, because it was. But also because we were there for it was the first country after China.
Yes.
To go, into lockdown. And so we didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And Peter and I were actually in Venice when they shut Venice down, which is that's an amazing concept.
To shut and Venice, yeah.
We'd been at a ball what do they call it?
It's chapter 27 of your book, anyway.
Goodness, yeah. Glenda!
Yeah, I remember very well. Yes.
Glenn's well across it.
Oh, no, what happened was, Kate, we said we were going to get together, and then we weren't going to get together. You're going to say, I want you to read my book. I thought, I know what I'll do. I'm going to read Kate's book before, so when she turns up to give me a free copy, because, you know, everyone gives me, like Dave gives me.
I gave you my book.
And I gave it to the Brotherhood. Yeah. But anyway, so I had this wonderful moment where I was driving over the Westgate Bridge, listening to the final moments, as driving back into Melbourne, the final moments that you were leaving Italy and coming back into Australia. So I was like, it was like a special moment. And I absolutely loved the book. But what I wanted to ask you is that obviously you've written a whole book about there was so much joy, so much love, some pain in there, such an incredible life journey. Can you sum up Italy in a sentence, or is that too hard?
Wow.
The opposite of what you did with your book, because the description, the writing in the book was...
That was more than one sentence.
Yes.
But, it would have to be, I think, a lot of different words.
Oh, random...
Maybe in a sentence. For me, the most joyous place in the world.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Wow. I've spoken to this off it, whatever about it, but you you think the Italians, they embrace life more, or what is it?
I think, it's funny because when you talk to them, they say things like, that I guess every country says around the world, people say their own countries, we're losing our food culture. It's the disintegration of the family, whatever. But they are so light years ahead of us in all those things that we're kind of like, what? You think you're losing your food culture? They just still, a couple of things. They use time differently. Like that's time good. Takes yeah. on a different context there. So whereas I kind of feel like here, I'm run by time.
Yes.
Got to be here, got to be there, better, 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 better. Whereas in Italy, they're like the time they just use differently and they use it for themselves.
It's true. Is that in terms of having siestas and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, the siesta, which they deny they have, by the way, in the classic Italian. This is so Italian. When we were there, we were always like, What do you guys do? What do you do between like 1:30 and 3:30? Like what happens? Everything's shut, right?
Yeah.
And if you're in a restaurant and you stay too late, they get really angry at you. Like one day we had friends over from Australia and we went to this little restaurant around the corner in Bologna and the waiter was really angry at us when he left. So he said, buona notte, which means is the very last greeting you ever say to anyone before they go to bed. It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He was really pissed because he wanted to go have his
nap.
So they deny it to siesta because siesta is Spanish.
Yes.
So if you ask them if they have a siesta, they deny it because literally they don't have a siesta because siesta is Spanish. But what they actually have is called a riposta. A riposta, which is Italian, which means a little rest. Like they just they're just very sometimes they choose to be extremely literal with you.
Yeah.
Either if they don't want you to know something, although they're very open people. Or maybe they just think you don't deserve to know it, or anyway, I fell in love with a daytime nap. And then I was reading an article about a painter. I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Mad Moustache, Salvador Dali. Dali. Mm. And someone said to him, who was Spanish, not Italian, but, you know, same, for the purposes of this. And someone said to him, how come you get so much done? And he said, because I have a nap every day, so I get 2 days out of one.
And because of the nap, they have dinner late, don't they?
Yes, they have dinner
8
late.
8 o'clock? 8 o'clock or 7?
8 is kind of the earliest.
Wow.
Like, and because our kids were quite young.
Yes.
And because, you know, we ate at Aussie tea time.
Yeah, 6 or 5:30.
Yeah, well, I'd be very happy to eat at 6. And because for the first 6 months, I was still getting up very early to do radio back to Australia. But they thought we were properly insane. So, and then you kind of drift into that. I mean, it makes sense when you're living it because nothing happens in the morning in Italy. So there's no, I was like, I'm going to do yoga in the morning. No yoga before 9.
Yeah.
But the boys never had basketball. Like here, the boys got basketball training at 6 a.m.
Jeez.
Yeah. No. It all happens after. So it all happens at night. And sometimes I would come home from basketball training. It would be 11:30 at night, and Yanni was like 9 years old.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. How did the kids enjoy it? Was it hard for them or?
Okay, so it's different now than it was then.
Yeah.
You know how when you're a kid, your parents make you do all sorts of stuff, and you're like, oh, this is bogus, or insert appropriate word, denoting contempt.
Yeah.
And then later on, you're like, oh, my goodness, that was actually amazing.
Yeah. Okay.
So the little boys, the two younger boys, Artie and Yanni, loved it while we were there. My daughter loved it while we were there. And Lewis, our eldest son, was very resistant while we were there because he had the secret girlfriend back in Australia.
Ah, the old secret girlfriend.
And that's an interesting journey when you read the book to go through. You feel for him because the battle he's having because he wants to be with his family, but he wants to be where his heart is. And it's that period where you are starting to break away from the family, especially when you got a girlfriend, and he had to go through all of that and such a long way away. But he handled it really well. Did he not come back for a period?
Yeah, he came back. We came back to see my dad, who was really sick. So we came back and did 2 weeks quarantine.
Yeah.
And which was so gorgeous, the two of us in quarantine together.
Mm-hmm.
We watched nearly all of The American Office.
Wow. There's a lot of episodes. Yeah.
So many. Is it like 9
there's
series
200,
or whatever?
I think it's 200.
Yeah, so. we watched a lot of them, even the bad ones.
So would you go back there for a little holiday?
Glenda, I would go back to live.
Wow. Where would you live? So you live in Bologna, which is like a pretty big city, isn't it?
Did you say Bologna, Dave?
Is that what I called it?
You're adorable. You know it's not Bologna.
What is it? I thought it was Bologna. What is it?
No, it's not.
No.
It's Bologna.
Bologna. Yeah, Bologna. Right,
no. Like, do you also say Lasagna?
Probably.
Don't tell me. Yeah,
that's
you
a joke.
Do.
You start, I say those as a joke, and then I just start saying them normally.
How do you say Bolognese? Like, Bolognese.
Bolognese.
Bolognese. You know, that's like years ago. Bolognese. Peter started calling me Dahl, and I started calling him Dahl as like a joke. Like,
yeah, then it becomes
that older.
Yeah,
and now we do it.
I know. I say everything, and someone said, you just started saying there's a joke, now you're just saying it normally. It's everything.
Yeah.
It's not everything.
Yeah.
Hey, and so where would you go back to that place, or would you go somewhere else? Where would you like to live?
In
Italy.
I think because we know Bologna, we'd kind of like to be based there, but we really loved Sicily.
Oh,
well, look, you know what? But now who can go back to Sicily after White Lotus? Like, you're not going to be able to go to Sicily. Taormina, where that where that story was set was where we spent weeks.
Oh, and really?
We can't go back there because
it'll be full of
Americans. So many Americans.
Yeah.
But on the upside, people might think I'm Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that's a woman from White Lotus over there.
Oh, my God, how much did you love her?
Yeah, she just had your presence. Ooh. Well, should we ask Kate?
Do you know the connection between red underpants and Italy? Do you know anything about that?
No.
Okay. Well, I
do know this, though, that when Peter tried to buy... Peter doesn't like boxer shorts, even those knit ones. He likes like old-fashioned jockeys.
Yeah.
And in Italy, they're called slips.
Hmm.
Slips.
So he'd go to one of those tiny little stores that, you know, Italy is full of, with some old man selling tablecloths and men's underwear. Like, what sort of shop is that? But he would say, "You've come out to buy some slips," which Peter always just found. Peter was buying a lot of slips, by the way.
Yeah, a lot of slips.
I know what he was doing, but what is the red underpants thing?
Well, we don't know. That's the objective of the show.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Red underpants in Italy. Our helper, Sam, will tell us at the end, so you can tune in or we'll text it to you.
How was it presented to you?
No, just as those two
there's
things.
There's a connection between red underpants.
And we go, who do we know that knows about Italy? And you were the fifth people on our list.
And I was what?
You were the fifth person we're going to
call. No.
There was Nick Giannopoulos above you.
All I can say is if you're on holiday and you want to read a good book, go and read.
Get Kate's book.
It is. I would give you. Because you read it with the passion that you wrote it. And it's like sitting with Kate at a long lunch and her describing. Right. And her description of food, you salivate.
Oh.
I don't know how you remembered the meals, but you go into such detail. And I don't know what feedback you've got. But people would just be crawling to get over hot coals to get to an Italian meal, the way you describe them. How do you remember all those meals?
Well, you know what's interesting? Because people ask me a lot, like, did I write notes or did I keep?
Yeah.
And for the first year, I wasn't going to write a book. So I wasn't, but I did want to remember what we'd done as a family. And in fact, that was why I ended up writing the book. But now, because of iPhones and photos, it's like you're keeping a diary.
Yeah, true.
So, and you know, a picture says 1,000 words. As soon as you look at the photo, it all comes back at you.
That's a very good tip if you want to write a book. Take photos.
It's fantastic because I would always be like, why do you take a photo? Because you want to remember something.
Yeah, but I'm thinking of Dave's photos. Hamburger, dim sims, fish and chips.
Penis.
Dave's own hamburger.
I'm not sure whether that is a hamburger or a penis. Or a
hot dog.
Dim sim.
Well, good to speak to you, Kate.
Love it. And Kate, so good to hear your voice and to actually connect again.
Yeah.
And after this holiday season, we'd love to catch up with you. And I don't work much, as you know. I know you're very busy, but let's catch up really soon.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be less busy this year.
Oh,
I'm going to be a little bit more Italian.
Good stuff. Okay, my shout. I think it's my shout. Kate and I have a regular lunch, and I think I'm due. So
cool.
Yeah.
All right, we'll catch up, Kate.
Okay. Yes. I love it.
Love you, Katie. We'll talk to you.
Love you.
Thanks, Kate.
See you, Katie.
Bye.
Bye. Ciao.
Bye. Bye. Love you.
Thanks,
bye,
Kate.
Ciao. Keep it arm, oh, I see you soon.
Yeah, all right, yeah, all right. You've been to Italy. Get over it. Get over
buona
it.
Buona giornata.
Fangula, eh?
Yeah.
See ya. We need some thinking music. What about one day you're going to get caught? One day you're going to get caught with your pants down. That was an underwear ad.
Is that hole proof? Is that, I don't know what that, or what about when Kramer goes commando, that scene where he talks about, I'm out there, jury, and I'm loving it.
Mm.
We could do that.
Yeah.
Or is there's one that used to go.
Ant's Pants? Remember Ant's Pants?
Oh, Ant's Pants.
Sick'em Rex.
I like a bit of a jingle, though.
I love Razzmatazz.
No, what about.
Razzmatazz.
What about the one where there was a. They wouldn't make this ad today. It's where a woman standing next to a piano, and there's a guy playing piano, a bit of a kooky guy, and she's dressed in a ballet tutu.
No knickers.
And very evocative, very
saucy.
You wouldn't make that.
I think your dad would stop and watch that ad when he'd be walking past. Oh, hang on a minute. We'll just stop and watch this.
I don't know whether we could find that, but we're not listening to it for inappropriate reasons.
No, we're being
nostalgic.
History.
But can I take my underpants off?
No knickers, of course. All right, let's have a listen.
Guess what? I think I'm wearing no knickers. I'm really in a spot. These new ones are so comfortable, I can't tell if they're on or not. I think I'm wearing no knickers. The trouble is, you see, they're now so smooth and silky, they feel, well, just like me. I think I'm wearing no knickers. Just let me check to be sure. Oh, I am wearing no knickers. More comfortable than ever before.
Yeah, that's incredible.
For the older listeners, that's taking you back. And if you are a younger listener, you don't believe us, have a look on YouTube. I reckon Sam would have found it there, and there'll be, I am actually wearing no knickers, or whatever she says.
But yeah. Okay, do you want to have a guess?
You go first.
I think Italy banned red underwear. I think Mussolini banned red underwear for some reason. I don't know why, but he banned it.
Well, I think that's very good.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to say... What colour is the... I reckon they do it for a superstitious reason. When Italy plays in the World Cup match...
Oh, wow.
All the footballers wear red underpants. Something like that.
Yeah.
For good luck.
It's good. All right, what is the answer, Sam?
Italians believe that wearing red underwear on New Year's Eve brings good luck. Wearing red underwear guarantees luck and success for the year ahead. Women who hope to conceive in the new year wear red underwear, as red is also the color of fertility.
Wow. Oh, wow. So those Italians.
So you'd want to time it, wouldn't you, for the right to be in the right cycle?
Yes.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Because you know Tiger Woods,
he
always wore a red shirt on the final day.
Ah, lucky shirt.
Lucky shirt. He would wear the red shirt and then he'd go out and have...
Gee, doesn't look Italian.
Well, that's funny, isn't it? So they wear red underpants. So anyway, you got to be in the right cycle, because if you've only got one pair, you can't be wearing them on the 28th
or something.
28th or something, or on the 30th, which is my birthday. Thanks for the happy
birthday. Oh, they said that on Facebook was your birthday. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Birthday anyway,
it's a weird day to have day to have it.
So you'd either go out and buy a new pair.
Or have your pair that you just wear once a year on New Year's Eve in Italy.
Yeah. So... because I know, did you ever do this when you were a kid? Where you'd go, well, I can't wear those underpants because they're not very good. And if I get knocked over by a car.
Oh, yeah. Or if you get any action. You know,
oh, if you get any action.
You don't have your holy underpants on when you.
Because if you pulled your, and then you got your race cars on or your.
You're Donald Duck.
Yeah.
What's that old joke? Like the guy goes, you go to the doctor and he says, I need to get a fecal sample, a blood sample, and a sperm sample. You just rip off your undies. You go, there you go, mate. Yeah, classic. Classic joke in the shed.